Why do people suffer? Most of the time we say, oh, I got it figured out because so-and-so made a really bad decision and now they're suffering for their decision they made. But that's not always the case. Sometimes people suffer when they haven't done anything wrong. Matter of fact, there's quite a few people in this world that suffer when they haven't done anything wrong. And Jesus understands. I hope everybody can see, and I'm not in the way here. Jesus understands what it means when the innocent suffer. He has been through that. He knows exactly what the situation is and how unjust it is and how difficult it can feel. And so that's something that's important for us to understand. Now, I want you to notice in these texts, we're going to read through these texts, but I want to ask some questions to really get you thinking about how all of this works, okay? Why does God allow suffering, okay? Some people I meet are really angry with God because things have happened in their lives, and they say, God, why did you do this to me, okay? So notice what it says in Luke 13:16. It says, so ought not this woman, this is a woman who was wanting healing, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. And who does the binding? Satan. Okay, got to get this straight. God is not the author of sickness, war, and death, okay? Whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So Satan is the one that likes to make mankind miserable. God wants to make mankind what? Happy. I mean, he came to this earth to die so we can have salvation and hope. Hope for a new planet that is completely clean of all the suffering and garbage that goes on. So where did Satan come from? We're going to go over a little history. Some of you already know this, but it's important to understand the history of Satan. Most people don't even believe in Satan. Most people have no idea what the Bible says about Satan, and they think that, you know, good and bad exist together. That's how it's always been. You can't have good without bad. You know, most people believe that, you know, millions and millions of years ago, all the dinosaurs, there was death and dying ever since eternity. But that's not the case. That's not the case. So let's see what the Bible says. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You're the model of perfection. Okay? Now, I can't imagine a time when there was no sin, because I've never experienced that. Okay? But there was a time when even Satan was a good guy. And this is what it's talking about. You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. So this is, you know, this is talking about Satan, because there were not too many people in Eden, were there? Okay? Adam and Eve, God, a couple angels, maybe more than that. And who else? Satan. Okay? Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, the emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, topaz, beryl. I got them all right. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. Okay, so Satan was pretty decked out. He was a beautiful guy. Okay? You were the anointed cherub that covers. Now, if you look, this is the, what is this? The Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Now, notice there's two angels there. And this is obviously the Ark on the earth. Okay? Because in heaven, they're real angels. And it's not an ark like this, but you have God sitting in the middle. I mean, we can't even imagine that. But he was one of the angels, one of the anointed cherub. Cherub is an angel who covers, who was the one with his angels who covered, just like the angels there are. So he was not just a second-class angel. He was the top dog. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Now, when it talks about fiery stones, that means stones that glistened like what? Like fire. Okay? Satan wasn't hopping around, you know, burning his feet. It talks about fiery stones that look like fire. But this is really referring to, when you read this in the book of Revelation, it talks about streets of gold, but it also talks about the fiery stones. Those are the same thing. They look like fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until what? Till iniquity was found in you. So Satan had some challenges. Let's find out what his problem was. You sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. It was a disgrace. And I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud. Now notice what happened. Think carefully about this. Your heart became proud on account of what? I don't know if they had mirrors in heaven or if he was just looking in the pond or whatever, but he looked there and he says, what a good-looking guy. Started to get a fat head. He says, you know, I look better than everybody else around here. You know, I mean, it's interesting that Satan could have fallen over the issue of adornment. Interesting thought. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you were corrupted, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. In other words, his understanding was corrupted because he was so good looking. I mean, this is really what it's referring to. So I threw you to the earth. So there's a couple things that happened that we were looking at in some of those texts, okay? In the garden, he was in the Garden of Eden first. He was the highest cherub or angel. He was created perfect. This is the way Satan was in the beginning. And beauty and wisdom. He was self-focused. That was the problem. And so he was thrown out of heaven. He was thrown out of heaven. Isaiah 14. For I have said, or for you have said in your heart, what will he say? I will ascend into heaven. Now notice this. I was thinking about this. This is talking about Satan while he's on earth here. Because he was what? Thrown out of what? But he's not interested in taking that as the end of the battle. He is still battling today. So he says, I'm going to get back there. If it kills me, I'm going to get back there. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. This is Satan with his issues. Okay, so Lucifer, who became Satan, wanted more power, wanted to control the angels, wanted the authority of God, and wanted to be equal with God. So he was a control freak. Does that sound right? He wanted to control everything and everybody. This was Satan's problem. He had an eye problem. Okay? Satan focused on himself rather than on his creator. And this is important for us to realize because we don't want to follow in his footsteps. You don't want to be focusing on yourself. You don't want to be thinking, what can I do to get ahead? You don't want to be saying to yourself, well, all these dumb people around, I guess I'm just the smartest one here. And I've told you about that t-shirt we had to buy for my boys. Actually, we got a 3-pack. I'm right, you're wrong. Any questions? Okay? So when you think you're smarter than others, be careful. You're following somebody's example, and you don't want to do that. Okay? That was his problem. So where's Satan now? You guys have any idea? You are right. He is here, and some of his angels are here. The good news is that God is here, and his angels are here too. And there's a battle going on, and you guys don't even realize it. Now, the devil might battle by saying, if I could just put them to sleep while the pastor's preaching, they won't hear the message from God's word. If I could just get them distracted, if I could just get them using their cell phone. Any cell phones? He wants you not to hear his word. Or the devil wants you not to hear God's word. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels were hurled with him. Now, how many angels did he have? A third. How many angels were there altogether? Okay, so angels. Satan has too many angels. That's the conclusion, right? A lot of angels. And so he knows how to trip us up. And so he's busy doing all sorts of stuff. Down here, he doesn't even need to do it himself. He can just send his angels, and they will do all sorts of unpleasant things here. Satan was cast out of heaven to the earth with the angels loyal to him. And some names, some of the things we're learning from that text, some names of Satan, great dragon, serpent of old, the devil. These are some of the things that are important for us to understand. The book of Revelation shows the cosmic battle between the forces of good and evil. Now, this is something that we don't think about often enough, okay? Why did God, or why does God, because it happened in the past as well as now, why does God allow things to happen that are unpleasant? Does he just like war and misery? Is he open to the idea of everybody suffering and getting sick? Does he like the coronavirus floating around killing people? Thank God it hasn't happened too bad. Now, it could get way worse. We don't know. Why does God allow those kind of things? Is there something wrong with him? Ah. But see, the idea that many people have is there's something wrong with God if he thinks this is what life is like. I get people who talk to me and they say, I'm angry with God because this is the kind of world he's made for us. And see, this is, people don't understand this great controversy. They'd say, if I was God, I wouldn't allow war. I wouldn't allow sickness. I wouldn't allow death. So why didn't God destroy Satan immediately? He could have. Any idea? If God destroyed Satan immediately, there'd be a problem. It's quite simple. Who's on trial? God's on trial. We think we're on trial, but really God's on trial. Is God fair? And what did the devil say about God? He just likes to hurt people. He's not fair. He's unjust. He's picayune-ish. He's like a nasty legalist. Wants everybody to keep this rule book of his. Okay, so he's on trial, and he's got to make the right decisions. And he does, if we realize it or not. But one of the decisions he's made is to allow Satan to play out his plan. Not because he likes it, not because God likes it, but because he wants us to see the results of what Satan's lie is all about. Without that, we would think Satan was right. I haven't been to academy because I wasn't brought up in the church. But when we went to school, they had a lot of rules too. I didn't like the rules. How many like rules? Anybody? Oh, I see one hand in the back. Oh, a couple of hands. You guys like rules. Those are all the kids. I didn't see the adults raising their hands. God has a lot of rules. Is he just doing this to make us miserable? You see, this whole mindset of trying to understand why God does what he does sometimes trips us up. But the question really is, God's on trial, and so he had to do some things differently than he would do if there was no issue in judging him. He's giving you the freedom to choose. He's giving you the freedom to do I vote for God or I don't vote for God. Okay, there's an election. So the question is God fair? And was he right? Or was Satan right? And so this is why God allows Satan to exist because he wants you guys to see the truth. Okay? What did Satan do when he first came to the earth? You remember? Who was there? There was Eve. I always get a kick out of this picture. I don't know if she was white and red hair or if she was dark-skinned and she had an afro. Some people say, Pastor, don't ask those kind of questions. Anyways, this is the picture we have, but she was there, and the devil was talking to her, wasn't he? Okay? As God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's already questioning God, okay? And so Eve responds, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle or in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die. Don't even touch it. Now, this was fruit. Is there some fruit you shouldn't touch? I thought all fruit was good for you. Doesn't really make any difference what kind of fruit it was or if it was some other kind of food. The issue is not the fruit. The issue was loyalty to following God. Okay? Don't even touch it. That's what God said. Don't even touch it. You know what happens when you start touching things that you shouldn't be messing with? Even if you don't eat them right away, if you touch them and you look at them and you play with them a little bit, this is what happens when you do this with sin. Eventually, you'll be eating it. So God says, don't even get close to it. Don't touch it. Genesis 3, verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God's a liar. He's just telling you this because he doesn't want you to know all the stuff he knows. You won't surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Do you guys feel like you're like God now since you know good and evil? Is it better to know good and evil? Are you enjoying yourselves yet? Are you having fun yet? That's what I remember when I was a kid. Everybody would say, wow, let's go out and do something. Well, I would say stupid, but they would say fun. Let's go out and do something sinful. They didn't even know what the word sinful meant when I was a kid. They didn't even have that word in their vocabulary. There was no sin. So let's just go out and do something crazy. And they would always say, are we having fun yet? Is sin fun? Maybe. What does the Bible say? Sin is what? It's pleasurable for how long? For just a short time. And then it brings what? Death. Okay, so you can argue that sin is fun. You can drink yourself silly until you're under the bridge. Then it's not so much fun. Whatever it is, okay? Sin is pleasurable, but just for a season. And it gets shorter and shorter. If you keep looking here, you'll find that Satan is a liar. That's his business. You will not die. You can not only be like God, but you can be God. You can be in control. Just like I want to be in control, you can be in control of your own life and just do what you want. So after the fall, Satan took control of the world as well, not only of the garden, but the whole world. And so what are really the effects of the fall? Sorrow, pain, tears, disappointment, death. This is why there's so much suffering. So when we think about the coronavirus, we think about the war in Syria, we think about all sorts of stuff, you know. What happened in Tennessee? An act of God, right? Was it an act of God? Was God just interested in destroying a whole town? How about all the hurricanes and all the tornadoes? There'll be more of them. Sickness. You know, actually, when you start looking in Matthew chapter 24, it goes through a whole list of things that are going to happen. Talks about wars and rumors of wars. Those happening? It talks about pestilence. What's a pestilence? There you go. There's one of them. Okay? So this is not, you know, there's been what? You go through the whole list. There's been SARS. There's been this. There's been that. They're going to have viruses and infections that are going to be much worse. Okay? This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. But this is not God's doing. This is Satan's doing. And we got to get that straight, okay? This is what's going on. God obviously allows these things to happen. He doesn't want to allow it. He would prefer to come and have it all over with. But he's got to allow it to happen so you and all these worlds around us that you don't see at this point can make a choice and say, is Satan's government better than God's? That's important to understand. So would God destroy our planet? You know, I want to ask this question. Some people ask me, does God kill? Yes, no, maybe? Or is only the devil the one that does bad stuff? Think carefully. Do you find instance in the Bible when God does the destroying? Think about the flood. There's a lot of times when God does the destroying, okay? So does that mean God likes war? Is God created all these different wars? World War I, World War II, is God in charge of that? Okay, you got to get this straight. Okay. God does certain things that he doesn't want to do. As a matter of fact, in the end, fire comes down, but this is God's what? Strange act. Okay? God is not, he doesn't enjoy suffering and death. He is trying to stop it. Okay? But there is a couple times in the history of this earth and in the future where he's going to have to do something that he doesn't want to do. He's not going to be happy about it, but he still has to do it. So this is important to understand, okay? So God is not destroying our planet. Does our planet deserve to be destroyed? Is there enough wickedness yet? Should there have been a flood a long time ago? But this is what he's written, okay? 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save our messed up world, each one of us. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think any of us would go. I don't think any of us would make it. So Jesus faced Satan's temptations head on. He was the one that showed us how to do this, how to make it happen, how to make it work. So what did he had to go through? He had to go through suffering on the cross. He was risen. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2:14, it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself partakes of the same flesh and blood that you have, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that's the devil. So why is God going through all this anyways? Who is he ultimately wanting to destroy? The devil. That's the plan. So what is Satan doing now? Okay? And we've already gone over this a little bit. Addiction. Is there any addiction? You know, if he can't kill you by some plague or some tornado or some hurricane, he just makes you an addict. Okay? Actually, the people who have the most money in the world are the most addicted. Okay, he says, hey, if I can just make them comfortable and get them hooked on drugs or hooked on something, I still have them. Even if they're not dying from pestilences, even if they're not dying from starvation and all these other things. But The devil is working double time to make everybody miserable in one way or another. So addiction, starvation, war, sickness, death. He doesn't care how he does it. He just wants to hurt you. Satan is blaming God for all, and see, this is what he does. He blames God for all the pain and misery that he himself produced. That's his plan. He goes out and he throws a tornado into Tennessee, and then he says, God did it. People, God did it. If you want to hate somebody, you should hate him. And there's a lot of people who take that bait. There's a lot of people who take that bait. Is Satan stronger than we are? Maybe. What does the Bible say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is what? In the world. Okay? So what is this saying? Jesus is stronger. This is really how it goes. We are less than Satan, but Satan is less than Jesus. So there's only one way to be victorious over Satan, and that's to what? Connect with Jesus. If you don't connect with Jesus, you are a goner. Satan is going to twist you and turn you in circles. And I was thinking about that. You know, we were looking at that chimpanzee. When I was down in Central America, there was a fella, I don't know if I told this story before, but there was a fella who had a chimpanzee and he had him chained to a tree. And I remember going and visiting him at his house there, and there was this chimpanzee. Now, chimpanzees, have you guys ever been around chimpanzees? This guy had a chimpanzee, and he had a, relatively good, I think it was like a Doberman, not a Doberman, but a German Shepherd. I think it was a German Shepherd. It's been a while ago. But I was sitting there with him on the porch, and we were talking, and there's his chimpanzee sitting there on a chain, kind of playing around, and the dog got into the area where the chimpanzee was, and the chimpanzee grabbed that dog, and he twisted him like there was nothing to it. And that dog squealed, and he took the dog and threw him. And the guy said to me, he says, do you know how strong chimpanzees are? Don't get near them. They can break your bones in no time flat. They're like 8 to 10 times the strength of a regular human. See, this is what Satan will do. Don't play games with Satan. You don't realize how destructive he can be. So you need to have Jesus in your life or else you will be taken. And it's not a pretty sight. What can we do when we suffer unfairly? What happens when we suffer unfairly? Has anybody ever suffered unfairly? Nobody? Well, you guys got it made. Nothing's ever gone wrong in your life. What do you do? What does the Bible say? Christ also suffered for us. Isn't that true? For what reason? One of the reasons, well, many reasons, to save us, a number of other reasons, but one reason is because he was leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Okay? So when you suffer, you have to respond like Jesus did. What was it, one of the first things he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You might even say, Lord, have mercy on them, because one day they're going to have it much worse than I have. Okay? And it continues on. Well, let's read that through. He was leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, didn't speak up, didn't murmur and complain or say something nasty. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. With God's help, we can do that. With God's help, we can do that. For we know what? That all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for those who are called of God. Okay? So all things teach us about how we should respond. All things teach us those things. Will Satan never be destroyed and suffering come to an end? That's the hope. That's the blessed hope that one day it will be all over. This is in Ezekiel again. I will bring out fire from within you. It will consume you, and I will turn you into ashes on the earth in the sight of everyone. We're going to see Satan consumed. This is the unusual act that God is going to have to do to restore sanity to this world. Okay? But it says he's going to bring him to ashes on the earth in the sight of everyone. You will come to a dreadful end and shall be, how much more? No more forever. I like this text. Even though it sounds a little morbid, I like this text because that means Satan is going to be done. No more Satan. And his angels will be done. And then God promises, he says, I'm going to wipe away. This is only going to happen after the third coming. Because when Jesus has to destroy all the wicked, there's going to be a lot of tears. And I think God will shed the most tears. But after that, this is what God promises. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I'm looking forward to that day. You know, we got all these pictures of heaven. We need to think about heaven. We need to think about what it's going to be like. We need to think about it because we're too busy thinking about how miserable this earth is. We need to fill our minds with the hope that God has given us. And so, your response. Was the message clear? You guys understand who Satan is and what he's all about? I realize Satan is the source of all suffering. Is that true? Or is it God's fault? Okay. I choose Jesus as my example when I am suffering. How many would like to be able to do that? When you put your hands up, you have to remember something. I can do all things through who strengthens me. Because you can't be kind and patient and loving through suffering without Jesus' help. It doesn't work. Okay, so I choose Jesus as my example when I am suffering. He looked to who for strength? To the Father. Okay? D. I am thankful Jesus is far more powerful than Satan. How many are happy about that? I am. Okay, now I got some questions. Where did Satan come from? Imagine that. Satan came from heaven. Satan came from heaven, from the most beautiful place. He was one of the most exalted angels. Okay? So where's Satan now? He's here, no doubt. And you know where he likes to spend most of his time? In church. He doesn't need to be out there with all the non-believers. He likes to come here. If he can tweak you guys, he's got it made. He doesn't like you because you guys are reading the scriptures. You guys are believing in Jesus. He doesn't like that. So he's going to work double time on the church. So that's where he's at now. Okay, list one lie that Satan told Adam and Eve. What was one of the lies? You will not die. Any others? You can be like God. Okay? Who creates war and natural disasters on the earth? There's only a few exceptions where God does it, and it's not often. Okay? All the ones you're going to generally see are the ones that Satan creates. Okay, number five, will Satan ever be destroyed and suffering come to an end? How many are looking forward to that? I know I am. Let's bow our heads as we close. Lord, we just thank you for the hope that one day you will come. And all the whole great controversy issue will be over. I'm sure you are as tired of it as we are. We know more about Satan than we'd like to know. We have seen more suffering and more misery than we want to admit. We have felt it ourselves personally. We've seen it in our families. We've seen it in our friends. Lord, may this time that you've given to Satan be over quickly. We just pray, Lord, that you would come quickly. And may this all be done. Help us to follow you, especially when the devil comes after us and harasses us and tries to discourage us, tries to keep us from church, tries to keep us from reading your word, tries to keep us from thinking about you. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, and that you, since you are way stronger than Satan, would work in our lives and strengthen us and help us to stand firm until the end. And Lord, we do thank you for that hope that one day all of Satan and his angels will be gone, all of sin will be gone, and there'll be nothing left but joy and peace and an awful long time of blessings that you're planning on giving us. We just pray that day would come soon. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.